Hey, good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. How could you not, weather-wise? It was awesome. It's going to be awesome again today. Basically, temperatures at around 80 degrees, as we said here in mid-November. Boy, do we have a lot to get into. We knew that last week. We didn't know the direction. We didn't know how it would look, how it would fare out. But today, now we do, and now we react. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville, while Chase McCabe is hanging out on the west side in Bellevue. And Elijah Campbell is back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing well. Let's get after it, man. We got plenty to talk about today. Wow.
It's Monday!
Not sure I love that. I'm going to be honest.
No?
It was better. It worked better last week.
It did. Friday. It worked better Friday.
What was the first one you did?
I don't remember. I was in a cave. I said I was in a cave.
No, but it was well-timed because it was something.
See, I was going to do it Friday, like at the start of the show, but we kind of started off on a sad note, so I was like, I probably shouldn't do this. The time is not great. So I'll save it. And since the Titans won, I thought I'd bust it out today.
Okay.
Bust it out. You did.
But you did. You did. Well, does everybody feel good about that win?
It's a win.
Okay.
I feel better than the Bucks fans.
A win's
feel
a
today.
Win. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think sports talk radio is like in Tampa today? Holy cow.
It's just the nature of the NFL, though.
Sure.
Every week there's a couple of those where you're going, what happened?
Right. But did
the Steelers almost lost to the Cowboys. Should have lost to the Cowboys.
But almost losing to the Cowboys and getting absolutely blown out of the building.
At home.
At home on a Sunday night, and your quarterback's name is Tom Brady. That's a little different.
Well, my point is we were talking about how teams can go through rough patches. The good teams get through it, even though they don't look good at times. And the Titans have gone through that. And it wasn't a juggernaut kind of win, but it was a pretty decisive win when you get down to it. The Bears were what we thought they were, very good defensively and pathetic.
They're a fraud. Yeah. They're a pathetic
on offense.
Team. Just like I said last
week. They're not a pathetic defensive team.
Their offense is absolutely pathetic.
Right. That's not the full team. Defense is part of the game. They have a very good defense.
Right, but if they can't score, which the Bears have a ton of trouble doing, it's going to be hard no matter how good your defense is. To maintain. I said last week, if the Titans lose to the Bears, they're a fraud because the Bears are a fraud. They're a 5-win team that nobody believes in, and they are exactly, to coin the phrase from Dennis Green, may he rest in peace, they're exactly who I thought they were, and they are a fraud. The Bears are terrible. Nobody's going to take them serious in the NFC, even if they find a way with expanding playoffs to get in, and that's a team you absolutely have to beat, and the Titans did it. But I stand by what I said because the Bears are a fraud. They're a joke of a team. Their offense is a joke. Nick Foles has no business being the starting quarterback. If you tell me otherwise, I'll laugh.
All right, so the Bucks are a fraud then.
Bucks are not a fraud, not even close.
Why not?
Well, because they're one of the leading scoring teams in the league, and they have one of the best defenses in the league. They're not a fraud.
They lost to the Bears.
Oh, so you go on record and you say they're a fraud then, and I'll disagree with you.
No, that's my whole point is I don't call
teams
frauds.
Because I went on record.
Okay.
So you go on record and say the Bucs are a fraud, and then we'll debate. I went on record and said the Bears are exactly what played out
right
on Sunday last
week. And they
week
beat the Bucs.
Okay, so
did they
are
beat
you
the
saying
Bucs?
The Bucs are the Bucs a fraud?
No, but the Titans are not a fraud, and the Bears are not a fraud. The Bears' offense is terrible.
The Bears
are a fraud.
The Bears
beat the
aren't a very good 5-win team.
No, they're very shaky, but when you throw out the term fraud, I don't understand. The whole point was you were about to call the Titans a fraud for losing to the Bears. The Bucs lost to the Bears. The Bucs looked awful last night. I'm not calling anybody a fraud. You're the one throwing out that term. I'm just saying in this league, wacky stuff happens. If you thought that the Cowboys were going to – you thought we'd be sitting here today going the Cowboys should have won the game. They arguably got ripped off. A couple of terrible calls at the worst time. One in particular, hurt them. They very well could have beaten an undefeated team with a fourth-string quarterback. Stuff happens in this league. That's my point.
Yeah, I understand that. And on any given Sunday, we know the phrase, anybody can lose. But it doesn't mean come out the next day and say they're a fraud. I told you before the game.
The Bears are going to end the
Bears.
The Bears are going to
is awful, and they're a fraud.
Yes, and they were yesterday.
Okay.
My point is the Bears are probably going to end up with at least 7 or 8 wins. So that's a mediocre NFL team, which means if you lose to a mediocre team, you are not a fraud.
Well, okay. Let's just move on. Because
this is going absolutely
Here's the question. Here's the question. Because, Darren, you made the statement that if they lost to the Bears, you were going to say the Titans are a fraud. They did not lose to the Bears. They beat them.
Yep.
However, I think we all agree that there are still things about this team that should concern you. So how do you view them today?
It's a game they had to win,
and they did. So, therefore, you get credit for that.
I understand.
But to your point, it's still – that's why I asked at the very beginning, which started this whole thing, how do you feel? How do you feel about the win? Okay, it's a win, and you never apologize for wins in the NFL. Really, you don't apologize for them at any level. But you don't apologize for a win. You got the win. You got your sixth of the year. But how does everybody feel? That was the question.
Well,
how do you feel?
I'm trying to create a perspective of every team, no matter what your record, but even the good teams, have issues. Like the Steelers have got to be going, what is going on? They've got some issues, right? They've probably got the least issues because they haven't lost a game. But
Kansas City should have lost to Carolina. So do they have issues?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody's beatable. Everybody is losing players. Everybody has injuries that start cropping up, and it creates issues that you have to get through. The Titans, are just like all these teams, are going through their issues, but I think they're a good team. Now, this next stretch, of course, is probably the most critical three-game stretch of the season, where they've got some big issues, right? But they have to survive. Do the Colts have issues? Heck yeah, they've got issues.
You want to talk about a team getting hosed? I mean, tell me that's an interception. I mean, that's a
pathetic
catch. Come on. I mean,
that was bad.
Back to square one again. What's
that was bad, but they got dominated in the second half.
They did.
And, you know, honestly, they should have been up more than they were in the first half because they played a heck of a first half against the Ravens. But the Ravens fans are probably sitting there going, we got issues. They don't look like the juggernaut that they were last year. So these next three games, who knows what's going to happen? That's the fun part of this league is just when you say, I've got this team pegged, I know exactly what I'm getting with this team, you have a curveball thrown at you.
Oh, by the way, you're not even mentioning Miami, and who knows? This may be the spark starting Tua, now 2-0. Miami may end up getting in the discussion before it's all said and done.
Well, I think they're in the discussion.
They're 5-3, and Tua's 2-0 as the starter, and this is what they've got moving forward.
I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, that's a really good football team, but you know what? They're not terrible, and they're right there in the division race. I think Buffalo is another one of those that, okay, they're good, maybe not as good as they had initially appeared.
Well, they're 7-2.
They are. But, I mean, how many times have we said records don't tell the whole story?
I think they're legit.
I want to see the rest of the season. Yeah, I mean.
but again, you're making the point that I've been trying. This is my theme of when you say how do you feel, do the Bills have some weaknesses? Heck yeah. They just beat the Seahawks. The Seahawks are a pretty good team.
And I was surprised by that.
Do they have issues? The Seahawks can't stop anybody.
They're horrendous on defense. I've pointed it out for weeks. I said Seattle and the Titans may be the same team.
But I said that 2 weeks ago. They're too good. They're still
both
good teams.
Both of them have awful defenses, and both of them can score at will.
So they're not frauds. The Seahawks aren't a fraud. The Titans and the Seahawks
have
are basically the same.
Have I said either one of them are frauds?
You said the Titans, if they lose,
which they did not, so why are we having the discussion of their frauds when they didn't lose?
I guess Everybody's close to being a fraud.
They won the game, okay? Let's move on. You're going back to the fraud statement.
Right.
They won the game. Fraud is out of the picture. I said if they lost,
until next
they
week
won.
When they lose. Then they're going to – if they lose one more after that, would they be a fraud?
Okay. So this is how today's going to be? We're just going to run around and chase our tails all day? Let's just be dogs for the next four hours and chase our tails.
I mean, no, our cats. I mean, my cat keeps jumping on the computer and, you know, swatting at the microphone. So he's
you got both cases. Well, both of you have both cases covered. Dogs and cats.
Dogs and cats. Everything's covered. So it's totally it's totally understandable to have some concerns even after yesterday. I mean, Ryan Tannehill completing 10 passes while we saw him not have to do a lot in the playoffs, it's still, you know, Derrick Henry, 21 carries, 68 yards. I mean, they did have an answer for him at times. You got to get the offense clicking again. The offense, to me, A.J. Brown's been awesome. Corey Davis shows up when he needs to, but you got to get more out of this offense right now. I mean, Corey Davis was a non-factor yesterday, targeted 3 times, no catches. So you got to get this thing clicking to cover up the problems on defense. Defense had a great day against a bad offense. Okay.
But do you think the Bears defense had something to do with the Titans offense not looking as good?
Totally. Totally.
Well, okay, we got to say that then.
Totally. I'll give them credit.
They made key plays at key times.
But the last 3 weeks, there have been some shaky plays on offense that you hope, and this is where the whole Miami Tannehill creeps back into people's heads. You have to hope that it's just you're going up against good defenses. And I don't really put Cincinnati in the good defense category.
Well, the next 3 weeks, they're going to go up against good defenses. So this will be a good test, but I don't know if they're going to roll up 30 points in these games. I think it's going to have to. They're going to have to be in between, right? The defense has to keep getting better. The special teams, which was better yesterday, looked more like a Titan special teams unit should.
Minus the fake punt,
no question. But I like what I saw overall. The special teams, a better feeling that you got out there. They're going to have to. Like we've been saying all along, your strong suit has to be your strong suit. Your weak suit, you have to mask and improve as the season goes along. Hopefully, that was a step forward for the defense. It's got to build confidence, but that was a horrendous offense that they played yesterday.
They're pitiful.
And the Colts and the Ravens, their offense is going to look a whole lot better.
Well, the Colts' offense still is a question mark. That's an interesting matchup on Thursday to me. I'm sure we'll get into it backwards and forwards by the time they kick that game off, but the Colts offense has some limitations, especially with T.Y. Hilton not the same guy anymore. They lost Jack Doyle, another Titan killer, during the game yesterday. I don't know what his status is going forward. Hilton has been banged up for a while. So on Thursday, is he back? I don't know. But there's not a lot of weapons on that Colts offense. Now, the defense is a legit defense. That's a really good defense.
Now, let me say this, because I should have said this from the beginning. I won't put everything on Tannehill. There were some drops.
And there were.
And there were some passes that should have been caught. You know, Davis,
at least
Brown,
could have been caught.
Firkser.
I know.
Teron
Reliable.
Calls him sticky fingers for a reason, because the ball gets near him and he catches it, and he had a couple of drops yesterday. So they got to clean that up. I mean, that can't happen. You can't have your key receivers dropping passes. I know that. I think Tannehill throws it kind of hard, but I mean, that's just something that you got to deal with.
It's something that hasn't happened up until this point.
Exactly.
So Firkser has been about as sure-handed as you can. And I thought there were some plays where the guy's not wide open. Like A.J. Brown ends up 4 catches, 101 yards, but he was throwing the ball 9 times. So that's not the most efficient game that he's ever had. He made the play of the game. Like the game is won on that drop down the chimney throw that was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
So I still say, you know, the Bears defense is very, very good. That was, they were going to make it tough. And I thought they did the best job of any team I've seen this year of taking away the bread and butter, the play action, the crossing route to Brown, the crossing route to Davis, that a lot of times it's their rhythm, right? Tannehill knows it's there before he even throws it most of the time. They made that tough. So I wonder what the Ravens and Colts will do in that area.
To Chase's point, the one thing that can't be a pattern is the offenses look pretty pedestrian the last couple of weeks. And you can chalk it up one game against the Bears, okay. But the game against Cincinnati, there is no excuse for that. So why does it look pedestrian the last 2 weeks?
I thought they moved the ball at will against the Bengals and then goofed up a couple of drives. And the defense couldn't get off the field. So they did leave
10 points on the board. So.
Oh, yeah, but offense can't do anything when the guy misses the field goal. They had the one critical mistake by Tannehill, which was uncharacteristic. Otherwise, they ran for over 200 yards and Davis had well over 100. They moved the ball pretty easily. Now, the Steelers and Bears have good defenses, and they didn't do as well.
They had slow starts against. They had a slow start against Pittsburgh too.
The only concern I have offensively is now I don't know what the deal is with Saffold, but when you start mounting more and more challenges for an offensive line, at some point you become a different level of offensive line.
Because we haven't really talked about Cimbrello taking over. I mean, he's been pretty solid in my opinion. But if you lose Saffold, you know, what does that do? That's obviously going to put extra pressure. So we'll have to see what the
Well, it may be time for big boy first round pick to get in the mix, you know? It may be time for him to act like a pro and get in the mix.
But where do you put him?
Yeah, but I mean if
on the right side and you move somebody over to the left side.
So put Kelly at guard if Saffold's out?
Yep.
That's a pretty big that's to consult our offensive lineman correspondence.
Well, what other choices do they have, Willie? I mean, there is no perfect scenario.
It depends on how bad Saffold is, I guess. But yeah, Douglas does not look like a guy that could give you what Cimbrello has given you. They're very fortunate. Cimbrello has done a really good job, you'd have to say, right? He's done about as well as you could
hope. I brought it up last week.
Yeah,
he has.
And did it again against a very good front. Right, the bear. That's a good D, and they gave up some heat, but they held in there. But once they lost Saffold there, that's tough to mask, right? You can put the tight end over there, and you can get an extra guy, but when you got two problems, two fairly, you know, not non-starters, that's tough to overcome.
The Bucs last night attempted 5 runs. 5. It's never been done in the history of the game. Since they've been keeping the stat, which is, I think, like close to 100 years since the beginning. No team has never had 5 or less rushing attempts in a game, and the Bucs did it last night. They attempted 5 runs against the Saints and just about got Brady killed because the Saints figured that out. Like, well, okay, they're not going to run, so we're just going to pin our ears back and we'll just cream the 43-year-old quarterback all night. 5 rushing attempts. That is coaching malpractice by Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
That's coaching malpractice. We'll come back. We'll get your thoughts. Weigh in. This first hour wide open for you to react to whatever you want to. Of course, there's the Titans game. But whatever you want to jump into over the weekend, tons and tons of sports stories out there. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
If nothing else, trying to get into position for Cairo Santos to come on and put him on the scoreboard. And they flip it out to Montgomery, who loses the ball. It's picked up by the Titans. And it's the newcomer, Desmond King, who's going to run it in for the touchdown.
There you go, the new guy, who's been on Zoom all week, wasn't able to join his teammates until Saturday. Desmond King, who came over from the Los Angeles Chargers. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints, smoother than smooth. If you want to react, you can jump in on our phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, at 615-737-1025. What did everybody think of Desmond King?
Funny thing about him, Teron Davenport was on with us. I did the pregame show with Chris Sanders and Floyd Reese. And Teron called in, and that was one of the first things we asked, okay, what do you really expect out of Desmond King? And he goes, well, it's funny because I was watching him warm up, and he was as he walked out on the field, he was going up to his teammates and introducing himself and getting to know his teammates because that was really his first time that he's been in the flesh with them. And I kind of looked at Chris Sanders going, well, let's see how this turns out. I was impressed. I mean, obviously a big play like that, but, I mean, there were some he didn't try to do too much. He wasn't in over his head or it didn't appear that way, and he was right place, right time for a scoop and score, which obviously helped his team. So you have to like his debut.
He of course, you know right away he's an upgrade, right? That was evident. Again, putting into context who you were playing. They didn't have the 3, 4, 5 different targets that he's really going to come in handy, I think. And let's hope we get good news on Adoree Jackson, that they will have him at some point. But you start feeling better about the numbers when they get spread out against teams that can that can spread you out. Now, the Bears are not one of those teams, but what you couldn't ask for a better start, right? Because he jumps right in. Now he feels comfortable. His teammates get a boost of confidence. Quite honestly, I think John Robinson needed a little confidence boost, right? He's got to feel better about himself. He's made a move that has made an immediate impact on his team. So that's pretty good stuff.
I think the one thing that jumped out at me is, how did they have a choreographed touchdown dance? He's going around on game day, introducing himself, and, you know, hi, I'm Desmond. What's your name? Kevin. Hi, Kevin. I'm Desmond. Hi, what's your name? Kenny. Kenny, I'm Desmond. How did they have a choreographed touchdown dance?
I don't know.
Did they work on that
on
Zoom?
It's funny.
Fair question. Maybe they were doing that.
Well, he's like gathering everybody. Come over here. Come over here. And I'm like, well, are they going to do something? A touchdown? What? How could they have worked on that?
I can see that.
Maybe on Saturday in the walkthrough.
By the way, did anybody see? What was he doing? I didn't understand it.
They were throwing dice.
Yeah.
But he came out with like a flamethrower or gun. I don't know what he had. What was he acting like he had in his hand? They were throwing dice?
Eventually, I saw some people throwing dice.
I just want to know, did he, you know, when he got the phone call that, hey, you've been traded to the Titans, and, you know, whoever, whether it's Robbie with media relations or whoever is saying, okay, so here's your meeting schedule. Yeah, at 2:30 on Tuesday, we'll go over touchdown dances on Zoom. So, you know, just be there for that. Wonder if that was a part of
it. It kind of feels like it. Yeah. I don't know how else they could have done that. That was kind of weird. All right, let's go to Kathy, who is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. She wants to weigh in. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I want to tell you, I saw Chase yesterday at the Corner Pub downtown, and I miss you guys so much.
It's good to see you.
I miss you. We should be a month into hockey season right now.
I know.
Missing you guys so much.
A month and a half, I mean, almost. It's crazy. I know.
Yeah.
We're in routine by this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'm missing everybody, that's for sure. But with the Titans yesterday, Tannehill concerned me. Because, and I know this is just one game, but it's been kind of building up that I'm looking going, Miami, Tannehill, Miami, Tannehill. But, again, the receivers, there's some balls they should have caught and they didn't catch. And so I was disappointed in that. Brett Kern, I sure did miss him, but that guy that has taken that Allen, is that his name, Allen?
Ryan Allen,
yep.
He did a fantastic job yesterday. I mean, I thought that was, they just had the wrong number on Brett Kern for a minute there. So, but that's good to see, is that he did really well. And the defense is just skeptical at times. I'm just some of that stuff that the catches that the Chicago Bears made, I was like, why? How did that happen? You know, that shouldn't have happened. And with a good defense, that wouldn't have happened. So, but I have faith in the Titans. They've won games they shouldn't have, and they've pulled them out. If they can get right back on the right track, I think we'll be fine. But you're right. The next few games coming up are going to be really the real test of them for this season.
No doubt. Thank you, Kathy.
Love you guys.
Can't wait to see you either. I mean, we talked about that. We will all appreciate being in person to sporting events a little bit more whenever that happens. So
I don't know about you guys. I get the weird feeling at about halftime of the CBS 2:30 game. In this past case, it was the Florida-Georgia game, because I'm usually looking at my watch going, I got to start making my way down to the arena.
Yep.
Or the bus if we're on the road, right? It's just your clock in your head goes off, and you're like, oh, I actually don't have to go anywhere.
It is strange this time of year. It's weird that we're all having the same thought, because I did the same thing this weekend, because I was just a couch potato slug, whatever you want to call it, on Saturday. Well, really, and Sunday. And this time of year, we just don't – we don't get to do that on Saturdays. And it was strange. I did think about that. I was like, gosh, here we are in November. I'm just sitting here watching wall-to-wall games all day and all night. And it were just – and I had the same thought, same as you. Gosh, it's so weird. Usually you're getting ready to bounce, and that's it. You know, that's it for the day. You're not going to be watching anymore, and just keep watching throughout the night. And, boy, did we get rewarded with games on Saturday. I thought the Georgia-Florida game was awesome, and then Notre Dame-Clemson, Tennessee-Arkansas, there was plenty to keep us paying attention on Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Notre Dame-Clemson game was fantastic.
Classic.
Big Notre Dame fan now.
That
Big
UT Notre second Dame half, fan. Not so much.
We'll get into that.
We'll get into that for sure.
He'll get his later, don't worry.
So, John Robinson, we had this discussion, and Kathy brought up the punting. So we had this discussion, and I asked you guys to rank which one is more difficult to replace, right? The long snapper, the holder, or the punter. And if you remember, Tom Waddle said the punter is the least of your worries. He said long snapper, holder, punter. Well, for at least one game, he looks like he was right. I mean,
well,
I guess
I
all
think
of
was
them.
An issue
I was
going to
say
there
wasn't
three.
An issue with any of them, but I don't think anybody thought anybody was going to step into the Brett Kern role. And, you know, I mean, he had some booming punts. Some of them were scary. Like, you know, that Chicago was brilliant. But I'll tell you what, I thought he did a really good job.
Well, he got to punt a lot. One,
he did.
Two,
he did.
Three,
he got a lot
four,
of work.
Five, six, seven, eight punts. Yeah, I think the best thing you can say is that with all that happening, that concern, it was a non-story.
Yeah,
right? For all three of those elements. And if anything, you're saying, wow, well, maybe Gostkowski, just the mental comfort of having the old holder back, maybe that helps ease the burden a little bit. And, you know, he can string together some good games. Who knows?
Now, you had to ask the question, okay, this guy's a veteran. He has 104 games of NFL experience. Why isn't he on a roster? I certainly understand that. But he played, you know, from 13 to 18 with New England. He was with the Falcons last year. It's not like he was, you know, punting for the first time. So when I saw that that's who they were signing, I go, okay, I feel a little bit better about things. And on top of that, he's held for Gostkowski before. He was Gostkowski's holder in New England for a long time. So there was familiarity. The only different piece was the long snapper, and they're going to change that again because, you know, they actually signed another long snapper that wasn't available due to COVID protocols. So he'll be available, I guess, today. He's allowed to be in the facility, and then they'll make another move. But
Will they for sure? Or do you think they'll just keep it because
that's
it worked
the plan.
Well, they've got till Wednesday to make their decision up on Adoree Jackson. So Wednesday, we're either going to know he's either going to be in the mix this season or his season is done, which never started. But they've got till Wednesday to make that decision.
Right. But
so I don't know what – but I'm saying that's a roster. You know, we're going to find out that there's either going to be a roster spot available or there's not, and we're going to find out. I mean,
they made 15 moves this week,
I know.
So I don't think they're really afraid.
Honestly, it was hard
to
keep up with it.
Yeah, you've come to expect the shuffle.
True.
And honestly, it mirrors, I think, you know, if you're a fantasy football player, I think you find yourself in the same position. You're very fortunate if you haven't had to shuffle your fantasy lineup around for one reason or another with all of the injuries. And we kind of knew that was going to be the case. So, like, when you're the GM of your fantasy team, you can imagine what it's like for the Titans. I wonder how many more moves they've made than your average team.
It's a good question. I'd love to know the answer.
I'll bet you there's some others that have had to make a lot of moves, but I wonder if the Titans are number one, right? Just having made 12 before the game.
On Saturday,
yeah.
I would say it's pretty hefty of most teams, but I don't know. I would love to know what the breakdown is. Like,
but
where are they?
Like, you know, on a lot of fantasy websites, I know on one of the ones I do, it shows you on the standings, it has roster moves. And you can see how many moves you've made compared to the people in your league. I'd like to see that stat in the NFL roster moves, waiver moves.
Elijah,
and just see where they rank.
I feel
see
like
if we
every,
can find that.
Every
yeah,
week
I wonder if we
watch
that.
A game, it's like, who's it? Remember, it was Foreman the week before. It was like,
yeah.
What? And then yesterday, Breon Borders?
He played exactly. That was
100%
the guy.
Of the snaps. I'm like, who?
That was the guy.
Who
I was
is
like,
this
what?
Guy?
Well, it's hard to read the numbers to begin with, but that's the one thing. I love those jerseys, but it is hard to read the numbers. And I was like, 39? Is that 39? Who's 39? I'm sitting there going, I've never heard of this guy.
He made his first start, and he played 100% of the snaps?
Didn't do half bad.
Yeah, he was fine. I'll say this, though. this goes back to, you know, some of the conversations we've had. They're now a 6-win team, and the day before a game, the general manager makes 12 roster moves. I respect that. I mean, because he knew, I mean, one, he had some that he had to make, but he's not afraid to keep moving pieces around until he gets it right. And he may never get it 100% right with COVID and with just it being a general NFL thing that you're going to have injuries and sometimes you're going to be stuck with what you have. But he keeps messing with the roster to the point of I'm going to get this right, or, you know, I'm going to give it all I have until the end of the season. And you just, sometimes you don't see that. That's why I would love to know the stat.
Kind of his job. Actually, a lot of this stuff he's doing is because of his signings that weren't very good. No. Let's be honest. Jonathan Joseph was not a good signing. Vic Beasley, do we need to say any more? I mean, some of that stuff, you got to clean up your own mess. So you're giving credit for cleaning up your own mess? I mean,
he admitted it was his job.
Well, you know what's, you know,
well,
what's
it wasn't,
interesting,
it really wasn't hard
it.
For him to, basically everybody could see it. So, you know,
right.
He had no choice.
He had to do it.
Right. But he could have easily said, you know, behind the scenes, yeah, that was a bad signing, but no, I'm not going to do a press conference on Wednesday. And he did. So
once again, it's kind
he
of
handled
your
it
job.
Well. He handled it well. Though. You have to give him credit for handling it the right way. But here's the thing. You're only halfway through the season. And I think every team who's played, you know, most teams have played 8, some have still played 9 games. Still got a long way to navigate to get to the finish line. So I don't think there's going to be less moves in the second half. There's going to be more moves, right?
Of course.
What are some of these rosters going to look like by the end of the year?
It's only going to get – everybody's doing this. Yes, it's going to get worse, unfortunately. The more games you play, the more bodies are going to drop. So, yes, this is what it'll be. I just think it's interesting. Every week we watch a game of the team that we cover that's right here in our market, and we go, who the heck is that? Who's that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to watch other games and go, who's that? But to watch your own team and go, who's that guy? I mean, I don't think – I can never remember doing that ever in this market.
Not this often, no question.
Let's go to Trace. Trace is up next on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Trace, what's up?
Hello.
Hey, Trace.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Sorry about that. I had to throw up my windows. But, yeah, I just want to tell you that the TD celebration yesterday was like a Call of Duty thing. They, you know how you got the weapons chest? So they went and emptied out the weapons chest, and that's why you saw him run away with, like, a gun.
Oh, that's okay. What it was. Okay.
I am not a Call of Duty. I only know Fortnite from my son. He does not play Call of Duty, so I was in the dark on that one.
He will.
Interesting.
Yeah, I saw Call of Duty retweeted, and then I was just so happened to tune in, and you guys said, and I was like, well, let me call and just, you know, drop, you know, let you guys know.
So
you've
that
done
is
your
Call
duty.
Of Duty.
You've
all
done
right.
Your duty to the show, Trace, to help us
right
who were
really?
In the dark
wow.
Understand and see
wow.
The light.
Wow.
Wally, come on now.
even Trace hung good, up. No,
that was pun,
up.
Pun intended. Pun intended.
I'm sure it was. yeah,
didn't
that
like
makes
that?
Sense. No, I haven't played.
Trace did the right thing.
Come on. He did. He walked off. He was like, all right.
Thank you. I was never a big Call of Duty guy. I mean, I played it some. I haven't played in years. I really don't play video games much anymore. But that makes sense now that he's pointed that out, because you know, there are different things that you can do there. We did get a text, and we need to ask Teron if this is true. But somebody on the text line said that Desmond King has actually worked out with some of the Titans DBs in California in the offseason.
I read that. In fact, it might have been Teron that wrote that I saw. I feel like I read that in a tweet, and I think it was Teron. But there is something. I think Teron will have the info for us on that.
Yeah. So I would be curious on that. But good to know.
You still feel like there's some other pickups that a good team, whoever ends up winning the thing, somebody's going to have to find some more pickups like that to be successful. Remember, Malcolm Butler was a kind of guy like that, right, for the Patriots. He was sort of an out-of-nowhere guy. In that great Super Bowl against the Seahawks where he's the hero, the Seahawks were getting – who was the guy, Darren, from Kentucky who had like 2 catches in his career? He's catching like 7 or 8 balls in the Super Bowl. Remember that guy?
The big, tall, lanky receiver that all of a sudden just burst on the scene.
We might have more of those this year than we've ever had.
What super,
I think.
What year was that? That was 17, 16?
I think it was a little earlier. I think it was 2014 season? Does that sound right?
2014, 2015?
I think so. I think it was the Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah,
February
1st, 2015.
February 1st, 2015.
Yeah.
Is what it,
I remember
what it
that because I was coming back from a road trip. We missed the first half of the game.
What was his name?
Yeah, what was his name for Kentucky? It's the Malcolm Butler game, but the kid for Seattle had an unbelievable game in the Super Bowl.
These are the receivers that caught TDs from Russell Wilson. Chris Matthews, Doug Baldwin.
That's it. Chris Matthews. That's it. Chris Matthews. That's him.
All right.
And, of course, Desmond King is something more than that, right? He was a trade pickup, and this is the last week you can get those. But from here on out, it's going to have to be, okay, what do we need? What's out there? Let's try something. Like, for example, Roberson, that was a nice welcome sight to see him in there, right? He did okay. Now, they're going to have to rely on him a lot in the coming weeks, especially if Clowney is going to be compromised at best. Right, I don't know where they are on the Clowney thing, but that report about Clowney, the meniscus, who was the first person you thought about? I could tell you who it was for me.
Darren.
Well, Darren's had meniscus issues. Yeah, that should have been who I thought of. Maybe that was the second person I thought of.
Last October.
So, Darren, you can.
I can relate.
You can relate, but Darius Garland.
ACL.
Darius
you
Garland
only missed
had,
like a couple games though, so you know
I missed one.
So there's
one, yeah.
Right. So there's different levels of what a meniscus can be, as we learned. But remember, Darius Garland got it fixed and he was out for the season. So Clowney has there depends on how much it's torn. What can you do with it if you get surgery? How long would you be out? Can you play through it? These are major questions, but I think this is going to be an issue the rest of the year, one way or the other. Right.
Well, to your point of people every week. We didn't even mention it on Friday. We got caught up with so many things on Friday. And we briefly, you know, talked about the 49ers-Packers game. But did anybody see who lit it up for the 49ers because of all their injuries and COVID issues at wide receiver?
Was that Richie James?
Yes, Richie James almost had 200 yards receiving.
Yes, he did. Good for him.
It's like Richie James. I didn't even know he was still in the league.
I screwed that up. I was going to pay homage to Alex Trebek and say, who is Richie James? And I said, was that Richie James? I meant, who is Richie James?
Oh, you missed
James?
Your chance.
I know.
You missed a good
shot.
You could have even done the echo sound effect.
I could. Could have.
I mean, did he have a catch this year? Going into that game?
It's a good question.
I think he's
and think about it. We're only about halfway through the year. Usually the Richie James kind of story happens in the last two or three weeks when everybody's ravaged with injuries or everybody's just trying to take a look at guys. But the 49ers aren't out of the race.
By the way, he did not have a catch this season and went 9 receptions for 184 yards and a touchdown. Hello.
Good grief.
How do you go into week 9 with no catches and you almost have 200 yards receiving?
And so he'll probably get picked up by a bunch of fantasy teams, right?
And we'll never hear from him again.
And that's the thing. Maybe he has some more next week and maybe he goes back to nothing.
Right.
That's the tough part of this season more than anything else.
But you need those guys. And I think more than ever, this is a great opportunity for guys like that you know, they usually wouldn't get a chance that they're going to – and I know injuries happen and there are these stories. You brought up Malcolm Butler earlier. But it's a prime opportunity for them to get in there and make the most of it. And if they do, then they can become a Malcolm Butler and like, all right, you're going to be an everyday player. You did it. You showed us. And so now you're an everyday guy. So this is, I think, a very good opportunity for players like that to do something.
All right, we'll come back and – put a bow on the first hour. We'll continue to get your reaction if you want to jump in there at 615-737-1025. But right now I want to talk to you about this weekend's major golf tournament. Yes, along with all the pro and college football, there will be no shortage of action. And DraftKings Sportsbook is the place. It's America's top-rated sportsbook that wants to put you in the center of it all. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new users that are covered up to $100. That's right. Your bet, they will cover you risk-free Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action. DraftKings will have a special promotion and odds boost every day of this year's tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up to ensure your Sunday bets up to $100. Once again, that code 1025GAME during your sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
You never know. Henry was the leading rusher in the NFL the way they've used him so far. Third down and two, and taking a shot to Brown downfield. He makes the catch, and he gets in for the touchdown. A.J. Brown, who is covered well. Buster Screen closest to him, makes a great catch in traffic at the sideline, and a touchdown for the Titans, a 40-yard play to increase their lead.
Titans get it done. They beat the Bears 24-17. Chicago's now 5-3. Tennessee now 6-2. At the midway point of their season, back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday morning, 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport talking with TD coming up to kick off the second hour of the program.
Hey, Darren, can I duck in a quick note about Dick Stockton, who was on the call yesterday? He's 77 years old now. There's something about the voices that we had when we were growing up, right? He's Carlton Fisk, 75 World Series home run for NBC. All those years, Lakers, Celtics, on the NBA Finals, CBS in the 80s, and now Fox for a long time. He's been with Fox for a long time since the Titans have been in the league, right? Since the Titans have been the Titans, he's been coming from time to time, still going. It's a classic voice.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
The team that when the Titans sent their release out, it was supposed to be Kevin Kugler and Chris Spielman. So I was a little surprised when I see Dick Stockton.
Switcheroo. Yeah,
Greg Jennings.
Cool. Yeah, Greg Jennings.
What did everybody think of Greg Jennings?
Well, he's new at it, right? This is his first year, I think. It's the first game I've ever seen him do.
Yeah, it's his first year, and it shows. Okay. But, you know.
I actually thought he was a really good receiver in the league. Hopefully, you know, if this is his first year, we'll give him. I was just like, for a while, I couldn't figure out who it was. I'm like, who is this guy
they
keep
right away
calling
either.
Greg? And I'm like, I'm just kind of going, who is this? I didn't, you know, I was kind of questioning a lot of stuff that was getting said. And if it's his first year, okay. Let's look that up, though.
Well, they also did, hear a little clip of Dick Stockton leading into that great throw, which was the play of the game. Talking about maybe a little confusion of, hey, Derrick Henry hasn't had the ball that much. But if you look, this is how they've been doing it the last 2 or 3 weeks to try to keep Derrick Henry from having to touch it 30 times or so. It's been working. And, of course, he still ends up with 20-some-odd carries. But at the halfway point, I think they've done a good job of curtailing and saving some stuff in the gas tank for what should be the big strength. And has been the last couple years, him in December. I think they've done a good job of positioning themselves for that. Would you agree? Like, they were complaining, like, why would you give the ball to Derrick Henry? Well, if you look, they've been mixing in some carries for McNichols and for Foreman. They were hoping it would be Evans, right, who is, you know, who knows when we'll see him again. But they've made it work with these two other no-name guys. But what that's doing is saving some strength, hopefully, for Henry when it's time to really turn and start churning and when the weather starts turning colder.
Honestly, they could do what I feel like the Titans did to Eddie George, what other teams have done, right, to certain running backs. And they could have this basically 3, maybe 4-year window of Derrick Henry peak prime and just do what a lot of teams have done with stud running backs, and then that would be it, right? It would just be it. But I do I do understand what they're doing. I mean, they're trying to preserve him as much as possible. I know he still had 21 carries, but I'm just saying he is a guy that you could honestly give the ball to at least 30 times a game. And you're going to have a real shot at winning every game because of we've seen it, right? When you go Derrick Henry heavy. If they would have went Derrick Henry heavy yesterday and let's say he had 34 carries, I don't think the game turns out the way that it did. But I think they're very cautious about that, and I understand it. They are
meaning
preserving
they run away with it? Is that what you mean?
I think it's whenever he – well, we've seen it, right? Whenever you're controlling the game and controlling the time of possession and you're beating up the defense, after a while, sure. They're just ready to tap out. They just kind of wind – you know what I mean? They just
like
wind down.
You can't tackle this guy.
You can't – right. They just kind of give up, and things kind of start slipping away from you, and there's just not that fight anymore.
Right.
And I just think that they could do that with a lot of teams, but I understand why they're not.
Well, and they've had to gear it back a little bit since the first 3 or 4 weeks, and yet he still got 182 carries halfway through the season. So that's a pace of 364 carries, which is getting close to the danger zone, right? 370 is the number that history has shown. You got to avoid 370. Now, what's the difference between 362 and 370? I don't know. They're not much, right? You're getting into that caution area. So they I think, have really started. Just remember the fun press conference where we were going back, who holds the record? People were asking Mike Vrabel about it because he was on pace to set the record, over 400 carries, right? So they brought the average down to a somewhat manageable level, but they were overworking the engine the first 3 or 4 games.
Yeah. I think, too, you got to look at last year. I mean, what happened in the second half of the season? He had the hamstring. So I think that they're keeping that in mind.
And he still was
running
over everybody.
He was.
Even though he missed a game.
But if you have in the playoffs, he was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I mean, he sat out against the Saints, and then all of a sudden it's 200-something yards against Houston and then a bulldozer in the playoffs. So if you get that again, then all right, then whatever. Whatever plan you got, it'll work. But I do believe that they're thinking about that because you would rather have him available to hand the ball to 34 times later in the season when it matters the most, you know, especially these next 3 games. I mean, don't you think that, you know, they're thinking, all right, this is what he did against Baltimore. Granted, Baltimore knows that too, but you'd rather have him as fresh as possible for those type games than you would against a team like the Bears, where even though their defense is good, you still had to beat them in other ways. So I understand it, but at the same time, as somebody says, let the big dog eat.
Well, it's tempting to give it to him every play, but what you're doing is shortening the value you're going to get on the back end. That's what happened to Earl Campbell. Eventually, it happened to Eddie George, who is as durable as they came for 10 years. But as Darren said, you want to be thinking about getting the most out of Derrick Henry, not just this season, but the next 3 or 4 seasons. And so that's why you need those 7 to 12 carries from the other guys, depending on how the game unfolds. Right? So right now it's Foreman and McNichols. I wonder if at some point, does Evans get back into the picture somewhere?
I mean, you would hope because I mean, the very, 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 very small sample size we got of him, you know, there was some good there. Now, is that just because
he's more talented than these guys?
Sure, 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 sure. But he's got to be able to stay healthy. I mean, he just has to. I mean, so how much is he going to help you this year? I mean, I think we're asking that about this entire draft class because Simmons, you know, is on a milk carton. Evans is hurt.
Wilson. Did you say – you said Simmons.
Did I say Simmons? I meant Wilson. Yeah, I meant Wilson.
We know who you meant, right? We know the list very well. Christian Fulton
is on
these guys.
You know, he's on IRR too. So, I mean, they're all in the tub and not able to help the club right now. But
they have a pretty big tub. It must be a pretty big tub.
I'll say this about Simmons. Here's an interesting stat that I didn't even realize. So when I was doing the show yesterday – I said something about him, and Floyd goes, has he even played 16 games in his career? And I looked it up, and yesterday was game 16.
Isn't
that crazy?
Yeah, makes sense, because he came in midway through.
Yeah.
And now we're midway through this season.
But He's you would like it feels like now with some of the plays that he's made, and he did it again yesterday, that he's been here much longer than that, even though he hasn't. So well, he's making an impact.
You know, that game, it just shows you how things can change. The pass we just heard, you know, the perfect pass. It was a well-defended play by the Bears, right? You can't complain with the coverage if you're the Bears. It was just a perfect throw, great catch, touchdown for A.J. Brown, and then Simmons makes the great strip. King's in the right place, and he doesn't dive on the ball. He takes the chance of scooping it up. He scoops and scores. That's the ball game right there.
Sure.
Those are two huge plays where if you don't have, you know, if those end up not happening for whatever reason, that could have been a really tight game.
But luckily
But they got him.
Yeah, they did. And
it ends up being a relatively easy win that got closer because of what happened at the end, you know, sort of garbage time. So it ends up being 24-17, but the Titans pretty much had the game won.
Right. And I'm rewatching it right now. I have it on while we're doing the show, and the A.J. Brown long touchdown pass just happened. And it was a great play by him. But now the true test is coming because you got a short week, so you got Indy here, and then you got to go to Baltimore, and then you got to go to Indy. We're going to learn a lot about this team in the next 3 weeks. We're going to see where they truly stack up. I believe right now they're a playoff team, just based on their record and based on what other teams are doing. But you got to see it against these good teams. And I believe on paper they're better than Indianapolis. I don't believe on paper right now they're better than Baltimore. But got to see it. Got to see what the matchup looks like.
And I think we go back to the old good, trying to go from good to great. Being a playoff team, we kind of thought that's where they were, but they're trying to be more than that. They're trying to build on that, so this is going to tell us a lot of the story the next 3 weeks. So let's turn the page, and we'll get to Teron. We'll get some excellent insight from him. Teron Davenport will join us in hour number two. We'll talk Titans and Colts, which will be Thursday night. So it is a short week, a lot to discuss for sure. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase on 102.5 The Game.